Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Mem Hey. Today's shiur is sponsored anonymously. L'zecha Nishmas Noach ben Meshulam Shraga, Zichrono Levracha Noach Dir, who is just an unbelievable person and of value to the Jewish community, who loved the Jewish community and did so much for Klal Yisrael. I was just davening Vasikin, and I couldn't help but think of Noach, who was so makbid on his tefilos and in davening Vasikin each and every day. The neshama shrav and aliyah, and he should be a melitz yosher for the rest of Klal Yisrael. He should work for Klal Yisrael in Shemayim as hard as he worked for Klal Yisrael down here. And today's share is also sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Ron Markovitz for Refuah Shleima for his good friend's father, Yosef David Ben Yeta Miriam, and also by Jerry Gross for a dear 92-year-old uncle, Yosef Tzvi Ben Rachel HaKohen, and by Harav Chaim Aryeh Ze'ev Ben Edel, who are both desperately battling the COVID-19 virus, and in the zchus of the daf shir, they and Kol Cholei Am Yisrael should be zocha to Refuah Shleima b'karov of Mamish. So we are holding on the very top of Daf Mem Hey Amud Aleph. We got to Daf Mem Hey Amud Aleph, and today we're going to discuss, the entire Daf really is about the Sheet of Rabbi Shimon with Muktza. We keep using this phraseology that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of Muktza, but obviously, as we said yesterday, it doesn't mean he doesn't hold of Muktza. It means he has a much more limited view of what's considered Muktza and what's not. So first, the Gemara is going to discuss whether Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda about Muktza, or whether he holds like Rabbi Shimon about Muktza, and maybe his view changes when it comes to a time of Shas Adchak. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, would Rabbi Shimon say that something is Muktza if you are Docha B'Yadayim? Meaning, even though Rabbi Shimon has a more limited view of Muktza, but maybe if you actively put it out of usage, maybe that would at least qualify as Muktza according to Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara is then going to discuss what Rabbi Shimon's attitude toward Huktza L'Mitzvaso is. When something is designated for use as a mitzvah, does that make it more likely that it's going to have the status of muktzah? And then the Gemara is going to talk about the muktzah status of fruits, according to Rabbi Shimon, that fruits that are left to dry and other types of fruits that maybe become unusable, whether they have the status of muktzah. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to focus on whether certain people hold like Rabbi Shimon. Did Rabbi hold like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to muktzah? Did Rabbi Yochanan hold like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to muktzah? So again, the entirety of the daf is really working on Rabbi Shimon's Shita, the details of what Rabbi Shimon's Shita of Muktza is, and then who holds like Rabbi Shimon's Shita when it comes to Muktza. So the last thing we said yesterday was that Rav ka Rabbi Yehuda Svirale, that when it comes to Muktza, Rav holds like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara in the very top of Mem Hei Amud Aleph tells us, Hachinami Mistavra, and it's very logical to assume that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, the Rav ka Rabbi Yehuda Svirale, that Rav holds that there's an Isser of Muktza, and once something is muktza l'bein hashmashos, it becomes muktza for the entire Shabbos. Now, as far as muktza machmas isser, we already know that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rav didn't allow a mita that was miyuchad l'maos, because it's muktza machmas gufo mekomo, so he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. But over here, he's trying to, with the Gemara, trying to prove that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, even on the other issue, on the issue of that something that's usher when Shabbos begins remains usher the rest of Shabbos. So it's another detail of Rabbi Yehuda that we're trying to prove that Rav holds like. So says Gemara, it makes a lot of sense that Rav would hold that once something is muktzah l'bein hashmashos, it becomes muktzah for the entire Shabbos. Tamar Rav manichin ner al gabei dekel b'Shabbos, because Rav says you're allowed to place a ner on a tree on Shabbos, and the meaning you put it there mibod yom before Shabbos in order that it should stay lit on the tree on Shabbos, and we're not concerned that after the ner becomes extinguished that you're going to take it off of the tree and then it's going to turn out that you're mishtamish b'mechubar l'karka, because you're not allowed to be mishtamish b'mechubar l'karka. They don't allow the Chazal allowed using anything that is mechubar la'aretz except for very specific circumstances, and it's a gemara meseches beitza lo olden b'ilan, a mishnah that you're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the Gemara says, because it it's a gzera of shemi yitlal shmina ilan. It's a gzera that you might come to detach things from the tree, and being tolesh is a tolda of kotzer. So that's why we don't allow hishtamshus bi ilan to begin with. So since you're not allowed to be mishtamish bi ilan, so Rav says you could be maniach a ner on a dekel on Erev Shabbos, and we're not concerned that you're going to come to take it off on Shabbos and be mishtamish bi ilan. But ve'in manich a ner al gabi dekel bi yom tov. You're not allowed to place a ner on the dekel on Yom Tov. Now, why the distinction? I mean, to stay lit there on Yom Tov. Why the distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov? So, if Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, then I understand the distinction, because on Yom Tov he doesn't allow putting on Yom Tov Rav doesn't allow putting a ner on the dekel, because since you're allowed to move a ner on Yom Tov, he's concerned that you might take it off of the tree on Yom Tov, and then it will turn out that you're mishtamish b'mechuber on Yom Tov. But on Shabbos, where you're not allowed to move a ner at all, any ner that was lit when Shabbos began, so once it was muktzah when Shabbos began, it remains muktzah the entire day. So there's no chashash that you're going to come and move the ner. There's no chashash that you're going to be mishtamish b'mechuber lekarka, that you're going to take it off the tree. Because we assume, like Rabbi Yehuda, that which is aser ben hashmashos remains aser for the remainder of Shabbos. So that distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov makes sense if you assume that the ner is automatically going to be aser for the remainder of Shabbos on account of the fact that it was aser when Shabbos started. Ella, I amrit, k'Rabbi Shimon svirulei. But if Rav holds like Rabbi Shimon, that something that's aser ben hashmashos will become mutter, or can become mutter over the course of Shabbos. So as soon as the ner becomes extinguished, it becomes mutter to use over Shabbos. Well, then what's the distinction? Mali Shabbos, Mali Yom Tov. What's the distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov? By both of them, the ner is not usher to move after it's been extinguished. So just like he didn't allow a ner on a dekel on Yom Tov because of chashash that you might move it, since you're allowed to move a ner, you're just not allowed to be mishtamish b'mechuber, so there was a concern that you'll move it off of the tree, he should have equally been choshesh to usher it on Shabbos as well, because as soon as the ner is extinguished, it's no longer going to be considered to be muktzah. That isra of ishtamshus b'ilan is a halacha psuka in Shulchan Aruch, that we're not allowed to be mishtamish b'ilan on Shabbos. There's a famous story about the stipler. When they used to go to get a bracha from the stipler, he had to write everything down or scream really loudly because he couldn't hear. He was deaf. They say that in the biography that he became deaf when he was serving in the Russian army, and he had a shmir on Friday night, and it was freezing cold, and the previous guard left the coat. They didn't have that many coats, so they would leave the coat out there for the next guy, and they left the coat hanging on the tree. So the stipler had shmir on Friday night, and the coat was hanging on the tree, and because of the isra of ishtamshus b'ilan, he didn't want to take the coat off of the tree, and he got so sick that he ended up going deaf from that experience. That's the story, at least that they say about the stipler. Rav Shechter never liked that story because it shows that he made the wrong decision. Because obviously, if he was sick enough that he was going to go deaf, it was pikoch nefesh, and you're allowed to be mishtamish b'muktza for a chola. Certainly, if it gets to that level of pikoch nefesh, he always thought he didn't like they when they gave hespedim for the stipler. They gave that story as such a he said better stories would be to talk about the Kilas Yaakov, the svarim are unbelievable. That would be a better indication of how great the stipler was. But there is an interesting machlokas over here about ishtamshus b'ilan. Rashi says the chashash is that you might take the ner off of the tree, which is included in the gzera of the chachamim, that you're not allowed to be mishtamish b'ilan b'shabbos and yom tov. But the Rush writes that taking something that's on a tree is not considered ishtamshus b'ilan. Just removing something that happens to be on a tree is not ishtamshus b'ilan. The chashash is you might climb the tree. That's Hishtamshus B'ilan. To actually step on and climb the tree is the Yisra of Hishtamshus B'ilan. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's also to be Mishtamish B'ilan because you're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos, and the Ramah says that you're not even allowed to take an object off of the tree. So the Magen Avraham over there on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, and Siman Shin Lamed Vav, Sivkat Beis, raises the question that according to the Rash, why is it that Lamata Me'asara it's Asar to take something off of a tree? Because after all, Lamata Me'asara, if it's lower than 10 tefachim, there's no chashash that you're going to come to climb the tree. So he says it must be that it's a low plug, that once a tree has access and there's access to the part of the tree that's above 10 tefachim, they just said you're not allowed to use any part of that tree. It became like a low plug. Since you're not allowed to use the higher parts of the tree, you're not allowed to use the lower parts of the tree either. So in the end of the day, and he says, and that's really the Shitas Rash, that the Rash holds, inherently it's not called the Shtamshus when you take something off of a tree. But it is called the Shtamshus when you climb a tree, and whenever there's a chashash that you might climb the tree, because it's a tree that you might climb that's above 10 tefachim, then even removing something from such a tree is going to be asir. So Rav Vosner has an interesting tshuva in Shevet Alevi, Chelek Zayin, Simen Mem Dalid, where a case was someone was wearing a talis and it fell off, and it landed on a bush, a low bush, not a tree, but a low bush. And he wanted to know, so he allowed to take the talis off of the bush on Shabbos. Rav Vosner says, this is the nafkamina between the Rush and Rashi, because based on the Rush, it's all based on the low plug, meaning that since there's access to the higher parts of the tree and there's a chashash, you might climb it, therefore you're not even allowed to remove something from the lower part of the tree. But if it's a low bush, it doesn't have any area that's above 10 tefachim, so then it's going to be mutter. Whereas Rashi holds just removing something from a tree is already considered ishtamshus, and that in fact is going to be aser. Anyway, he was makel in the end because he thought for a dvar mitzvah that maybe the whole lister doesn't apply, and talus shel mitzvah, meaning maybe not for a dvar mitzvah, maybe something that fell there on its own. The talus, he obviously didn't want to put his talus on the tree, just fell off and landed on the tree, as opposed to a ner where the person dafka placed it on the tree. Okay, so that's the comment of Rav Vosner. Says the Gemara further now, the Rav Krab Yudas Svirle, are we so comfortable saying that Rav follows the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to muktzah? They asked Rav, are you allowed to be metaltel in Ner Chanukah? Are you allowed to move after the Chanukiah has been extinguished? Are you allowed to take it inside from the Chatzer? The proper place to light Ner Chanukah is by the Pesach HaChatzer. So can you bring it inside to your house? Because there are these people who are called Chabarim, non-Jews, who are very makbid, that we shouldn't light any neros. So you want to take them in so that you won't be threatened by the chabarim. So what happens if you lit Ner Chanukah on Shabbos and now the neros are extinguished and you'd like to get rid of the evidence that you've lit Ner Chanukah? So they asked Rav, are you allowed to move it? So Amar Luhu, and Rav said, Shapir Dami, yeah, you're allowed to bring it inside. And if Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, how could he allow being metaltel Ner Chanukah that's been extinguished? Rabbi Yehuda holds once something is muktzeh ben Hashmashos, so it's muktzah the entire day. The Ner Chanukah was obviously lit during Ben Hashmashos. So how can we say that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda? So says Mar, no, Rav only allowed because Shasad Chak Shaini. It was a time of danger, and therefore B'Shasad Chak, he was willing to be makel like Rabbi Shimon. But that doesn't mean that he generally holds like Rabbi Shimon. Generally, Rav in fact holds like Rabbi Yehuda. There is a discussion in Poskim. Rashi over here says Shasad Chak means Shasasakona. So Rabbi Kivager says it can't possibly mean that. If we're a Shasasakona, there's no Shaila. Even Rabbi Yehuda, everybody would say that you're allowed to be metaltel in there B'Shasasakona. There's nothing to talk about if it's a shasa sakana. So the Ritva says that the Lashon the Gemara also shows that it's not a shasa sakana, because he says the Lashon the Gemara is mochiach that it can't mean a shasa sakana mamish. It means that it's a tzara guf, it's sakana's mamon, it's something like that. That's what the Mishbru, when he quotes Salach and Simon Reish Ayin Tes, quotes from the Prima Gadim, that if a person is afraid from an Eino Yehudi, sheyakeyu o sheyigzol mamono, that's the concern, that he's going to hurt you in some way, not to kill you, but he's going to hurt you, he's going to steal your money, and therefore it's not actually talking about a sakana mamish. Some of the Achronim understood that this is in fact talking about a sakana mamish, but we already learned a Gemara earlier in the Masechta that b'shasa sakana, you're not supposed to light the Ner Chanukah in the Chatzer. B'shasa sakana, manicha shulchan avadayo, you light your Ner Chanukah on your shulchan. And this is obviously a person who is absolutely negligent with his own life. That Enoch Inami was a shasakana, but this person decided to take a risk with his own life and light the Ner Chanukah where he should not have been lighting the Ner Chanukah. And that's where Shlomo Kluger points out in Shulchan Aruch, in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch, in Chachma Shlomo, in Or Chaim Simon Shin Chav Tes, Si'if Aleph, he says, wait a second, this din that you're allowed to violate Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, that we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos with every, even on a Daraisa level, for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh, does this din apply even if the person was posheya, the person was absolutely negligent and put themselves into a sakana? Or do you say, you know what, it's their fault, why do I have to be mechal Shabbos to save them when they decided to be negligent and put themselves in a sakana? So if Shlomo Kluger says, we have a raya from our Gemara that you are not allowed to be mechal Shabbos for someone who is posheya to put themselves in sakana, because after all, they could have been madlik ner al shulchano if it was shas sakana, and they were not, so must be that our Gemara is telling us that on account of that, you're not allowed to be mechal shabbos, that's why we have to rely on kedai Rabbi Shimon lismach alav shas al chak, and we can't just say, it's a pikuach nefesh, and even if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, it's okay. So that's what Shlomo Kluger's raya. Lest you think that this is like a das yachid, and nobody else would ever say such a thing, how could you say you're not going to be mechal Shabbos for pikuach nefesh just because the person was posheya? So the Minchas Chinuch writes in the Kometz L'Mincha Mitzvah Reish Lamed Zayin that someone who's ma'avir atzma l'das, that other people do not have a chiyuv to save someone who's ma'avir atzma l'das, which is a wild chiddush, that a person is trying to commit suicide even on a weekday, you have no chiyuv to save him. Based on the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that based on Vashiva Osalo, you have a requirement to save someone's life. It's based on the dinim of Hashavas Aveda. But in the dinim of Hashavas Aveda, when there's an Aveda Ladas, if a person purposely loses something, then you have no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So says Minchas Chinuch, it would therefore follow that there's no mitzvah to save a person in a situation of Pikuach Nefesh. Needless to say, or maybe it does need to be said, we don't paskin this way. We are Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh regardless. We don't even paskin that there's even such a thing. We very rarely give someone the status of a ma'avir atzma l'das nowadays. Ma'avir atzma l'das has to meet very specific criteria. We have to know that he didn't back out at the very end when it was too late, and that he intended all the way through to be ma'avir atzma l'das. It had to be an overt act of rebellion and not an outgrowth of the illness of depression. We don't have such a thing as ma'avir atzma l'das nowadays. But even if we did, the Chida writes in Birke Yosef, he has a maisa that happened where there was a girl that tried to swallow poison, and someone wrote a kameya on Shabbos to heal her. That was a refuah segulis. It was not the fellow wasn't a doctor, he was a Kabbalist, and he wrote a kameya to heal her. And people were motzi laz on this fellow that he was mechal Shabbos. The meichi tesi that he's allowed to write such a kameya. So the chida focuses mostly on whether refuah segulis is mutter to do on Shabbos, whether you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos in a refuah that's not a medical refuah, but he takes it for granted as a dover pashut that of course you're allowed to actually be mechal Shabbos for a real refuah. There's a Chuvus Meril Diskin along these lines as well, that certainly we would be mechal Shabbos even for someone who was posheya and put themselves in that situation in the first place. We'd be mechal Shabbos to save the person's life. But anyway, so the Gemara over here says that Shas Hadchak is different because the Amr Rav Kahan of Rav Ashi L'Rav Hachi Hilchasa, that is that the halacha that you're allowed to be metaltal in there that's extinguished? And Amr Lahu, Rav responded, Kedai hu Rabbi Shimon lismoch alav b'shas hadchak, that you can rely on Rabbi Shimon b'shas hadchak. And even though shalom b'shas hadchak, we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, says Rav b'shas hadchak, we can rely on Rabbi Shimon. Rav Shachter uses this as one of the examples. He has a shir on Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim, that generally speaking, we think Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim is a klal in learning, but it's not a klal in halacha. That how can you say, we pass like Beis Hillel, not like Beis Shammai. So how can you say Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim? It means that learning the Shitas Beis Shammai is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah as well. But it's not a kol in halacha. You're never going to paskin like the Beis Shammai. But every once in a while we find that Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim is a klal in halacha as well. And this is one example that b'shas hadchak we rely on a shita that we reject, a shita that we don't hold like, because we hold be'etzem that his shita is also divrei Elokim Chaim, and therefore we're allowed to rely on it b'shas hadchak. Says Gemara further now, b'ay minei reish lakish mirabi yochanan, chitim shizroin bekarka. If someone planted wheat into the ground, ubeitzim shetachas tarnagolas, or if you have eggs that were placed under a hen, under a chicken, so mahu, what's the din? Is Rabbi Shimon going to be matir tiltal even in that case as well? Meaning what we're asking now is, we know that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of the most expanded version of muktzah, the yisr of muktzah, but what if you were maktza biyadayim? You dafka put something out of use. So now is it going to be muktzah? Ki less than Rabbi Shimon Muktzah Echad Delo Dachi Biyadayim Echad Dachi Biyadayim Isle Muktzah Odil Maloshna. Does Rabbi Shimon only not hold of Muktzah when you were not Docha Biyadayim, but if you're Docha Biyadayim, he would hold of Muktzah? Or does it not make a difference one way or the other? Rabbi Shimon allows being metaltal in Ner Shekava. L'chora, that's Docha Biyadayim. You put the Ner there, so isn't that considered Docha Biyadayim? So Tos explains that no, because when you put it there, you were not Docha Biyadayim dime for the entire Shabbos, meaning you knew that the Ner was going to extinguish in an hour or two, and therefore the entire time you had the plan that it would no longer be Muktzah in an hour or two. But over here we're talking about something that you're Docha Biyadayim on a more for a longer period of time that's going to last the entire Shabbos. So says Rabbi Yochanan Amar Leih, Ain Muktzah the Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of Muktzah at all, even if you're Docha Biyadayim. The only thing that Rabbi Shimon is going to hold as muktzah is the shemen in a ner while the ner is lit. That's going to be muktzah. Why? And here's the line the Gemara is going to focus on for a bit. Hol v'huktzah l'mitzvah so huktzah l'isuro. Since the ner is anyway already muktzah for the mitzvah of Adlakas Ner Shabbos, meaning you're not, Huktzah l'mitzvah so is really an entirely different concept. When something is designated for mitzvah use, it means you're not allowed to get personal benefit from it while it's being used for the mitzvah. But Rabbi Shimon is saying, or the Gemara is explaining within Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochanan is explaining within Rabbi Shimon, that you know when Rabbi Shimon holds that something becomes muktzah l'isuro, only when it's also already huktzah l'mitzvaso. So muktzah alone is not going to be a problem for Rabbi Shimon, but when huktzah l'isuro pushes it over the top and makes it a problem of muktzah. So says Gemara, v'lesle huktzah l'mitzvaso? Wait, does Rabbi Shimon not hold the huktzah l'mitzvaso on its own? It's only when they tag team huktzah l'mitzvaso and huktzah l'isuro that it becomes aser? Just something designated for a mitzvah on its own, where there's no Isser Shabbos associated with it, is going to be mutter to get hanah from? V'atanya, but don't we have a braisa Maseches Sukkah that tells us, sikcha kilchusa, if you put proper schach on your sukkah, and then what's the next step? You decorate the sukkah, v'itra b'kramim, v'sedinim ha-metziyarim, v'tala ba'agozna, parsik and shkedim, rimonim, v'aparchle shalanavim, v'atru shal shibolin, yeno shmanim, slasos. Well, you get the idea from here that the common sukkah decorations were all fruits. Now they're also fruits, but they're plastic fruits. It used to be that they would hang actual fruits in their sukkah. The reason we hang plastic fruits is because that was the minhag. The minhag was fruits, and we just don't like bugs. So plastic fruits don't attract bugs. But they used to hang fruits in their sukkah. So that was the minhag. So also this topic men anmotzah yom tov achron. You're not allowed to use those decorations, which have a practical function. They're delicious. You're not allowed to use them until motzah yom tov achron. There are discussions in poskim if a person has an esrog hanging in his sukkah and then his regular esrog that he was planning on that he was using became pasul. Is he allowed to take the esrog from the sukkah and use it for the mitzvah? So you're using it, but for a mitzvah, but for a different mitzvah, not for the mitzvah of sukkah. Now you want to use it for the mitzvah of dal minim. But anyway, so the halacha is, the brisa tells us, you're not allowed to get benefit from these sukkah decorations, from the fruits being used as sukkah decorations. Vim hisna aleihen. But if you made a tenai on erev yom tov that you plan on using it on yom tov, hakol lefi tano, then everything follows the tenai. So it's so these are things that are muktzah machlas mitzvah. You hang them in the sukkah l'shem noy sukkah. But there's no muktzah machmas iser over here on Chol HaMoed. There's no iser of removing them from the sukkah. You're allowed to take down an entire sukkah on Chol HaMoed. So if Rabbi Shimon is only going to hold that something is muktzah when it's both, when it's muktzah machmas mitzvah and muktzah machmas iser, then what's the problem with benefiting from these sukkah decorations? So says Maru, Maid Rabbi Shimon he, Ditani Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef, Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. How do you know that this braisa is following the shita of Rabbi Rabbi Shimon, that you're going to ask on Rabbi Yochanan, how can you say that Rabbi Shimon holds that something's only muktzah when it's both huksa l'mitzvaso and huksa l'yisuro? I, don't you see, this brisa says that there's huksa l'mitzvaso on its own. Who told you this brisa was written by Rabbi Shimon? Says the Gemara, Detani Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, you're not allowed to remove wood from the sukkah on Yantav. Yantav means any Yantav. On Pesach, on Shavuos, on Sukkot, if you have a hut, you're not allowed to remove wood from it. But if the sukkah fell on its own, where it's not going to be a violation of Stiras Oel, so then even if the sukkah fell on its own, where it wouldn't be a violation of Stiras Oel, you're not allowed to take Eitzim that were used for the sukkah. Element of Samukla. But that which is not part of the actual structure of the sukkah, it's just that which supports the walls or leans up against the walls, that you're allowed to take. That's the Tanakama's shita. But Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon allows taking even some of the wood that is part of the structure of the sukkah, provided that the sukkah fell down. Because he does not consider that to be an iser of tiltul muktzah. Vishavin b'sukkas hachag b'chag shiyasura. But everyone will agree that if it's a sukkah, like we call a sukkah, it's not just a hut in your yard for Shavuos because the weather's nice and you want to sit out in a gazebo. No, it's sukkas hachag b'chag. It's during the 7 days of Yom Tov of sukkas that even if it falls down, it's huksal l'mitzvaso, and therefore you're not allowed to get anah from that wood. Vim hisna Allah kol l'fitano. But if you made a tanai on it, then everything would follow the tanai. So from the fact that the Braisa says that Rabbi Shimon is modeh by a sukkah on sukkahs, that the wood of the sukkah is going to be muktzah, you see clearly Rabbi Shimon holds of the concept that when something is huksa l'mitzvaso, even if it's not huksa l'isuro, huksa l'mitzvaso stands on its own. So why does Rabbi Yochanan think that Rabbi Shimon only asers the Shemen Shebener because it's both huksa l'mitzvaso and huksa l'isuro? So the Gemara goes back and changes its mind. That the Gemara says, really, Rabbi Shimon asers even something that's only huksa l'mitzvaso, even when it's not huksa l'isuro. When Rabbi Yochanan said that according to Rabbi Shimon, the only muksa is shemen shebener, hoel v'huksa l'mitzvaso, huksa l'isuro, he did not mean that in order for something to become usser, it has to be mamish like a candle that has both aspects of huksa l'mitzvaso and huksa l'isuro. No, what he meant is Kain Shemin Shabiner, that even something that's similar to Shemin Shabiner, that it's meaning even things that are only Huxal Mitzvaso, Kamrinan. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that Rabbi Shimon would hold that has an Isra Muksa. When he says Hawil Huxal Mitzvaso, Huxal Yisuro, he means to tell us about how long the Isra Muksa lasts. That whole of huksa l'mitzvaso, huksa l'yisuro, that the shemen shebener, since it's also huksa for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, so it's huksa only for the zman that it's going to be asur, only for the zman that you're not allowed to extinguish that fire. Because in Ner Shal Shabbos, when the zman of the Isser is over, when the ner is extinguished, so the mitzvah is over. So with the extinguishing of the ner, since the mitzvah is over, the huktza l'mitzvaso is over as well. But by sukkas hachag, where the muktza, the huktza l'mitzvaso status of the wood and the decorations is really for the entire Yom Tov, because the mitzvah extends for the entire Yom Tov, so Rabbi Shimon is moda that even on Chol HaShemoed, the zman of the Isser is over, because you're allowed to be Soser Sukkah on Chol HaMoed, and nevertheless, it still remains Aser for the rest of the Chag, because there is such a principle of Huksa L'mitzvaso. Itmar Nami, and we'll bring a raya to this as well, that Amr Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Muksa L'Rabbi Shimon Ela Ke'ein Shemen Shebener B'Shah Shu Dolek, that the Muksa status of the Shemen Shebener only lasts as long as the candle is lit. Hol v'huksa l'mitzvaso, huksa l'yisuro. And that's what we mean when we say hol v'huksa l'mitzvaso, huksa l'yisuro. So now the Gemara explains what the case is of peros. In what cases would Rabbi Shimon even say peros become muktza? A new topic. When would Rabbi Shimon say that fruits can become muktza? Amar Rabbi Dama Shmuel, ein muktza l'Rabbi Shimon ela grogros v'tzimukim belvad. Only if you are drying figs or drying grapes on your rooftop, they become muktzah, because as soon as you put them on the roof, they immediately, very shortly thereafter, they become inedible when the sun is baking down on them, and they only become roi lachila again once they're fully dried out. So when you put these fruits on your roof to dry out, and you know that you knowingly are putting them in a situation where they're going to become inedible, you are completely mesiach daito from them. You completely take your mind off of them. You have no intention of using them, and that's why they become usser. It is the most active form of making something muktza that you can have. You're taking something that was usable, and you're actively making it no longer. Not only are you actively putting it out of use, you're making it no longer usable for a while. So midi achrin lo, says Gemara, those are the only two fruits, grapes and figs. No other dried fruits are going to be included in that category. Vatanya, Brisa tells us, let's say you're eating figs and you had some extras, so you brought them up to the roof to make grogros. You're eating grapes and you had some extras, so you brought it up to the roof to make raisins. Lo yochal ad sheyazmin. You're not allowed to eat them on Shabbos unless you had a kavana and erev Shabbos to eat them on Shabbos. V'chein atomer bar parsikin v'chavushin b'shar kol mine peros. And the Bryce says explicitly, and the same is true of all other dried fruits, that they become muktza when you put them up on the roof. So how can you say that Rabbi Shimon only holds of muktza by grogros and simukim alone, that those are the only fruits? Says Gemara, money. Who could be the author of this brisa that we just quoted that expanded the category to all fruits? Ilem Rabbi Yehuda, maybe you'll tell me it's Rabbi Yehuda who holds that all these fruits are muktza. Well, ma hecha delo dachi b'adayim mislei muktza, hecha dachi b'adayim lo kol shkein. What would Rabbi Yehuda be teaching me new? What new ground would he be breaking in this brisa? Rabbi Yehuda holds even things that you're not dachi b'adayim, even things that just aren't useful anymore that happen on their own are muktza. So of course if you're dachi b'adayim, it would be muktza. So why would he talk about a case where you bring something up to the roof that's no chiddush at all according to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Shimon, it must be that the author of our brisa is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, who normally holds things, are not muktza, but in this case, when you bring these fruits up to the roof, they do become muktza. So don't you see clearly in the brisa, it's not only grapes and figs, it's all other fruits as well? Says Mar Liolam Rabbi Yehuda. No, maybe the brisa is really going like Rabbi Yehuda. When it says the iser in a way that you put the peros on the gag, it's coming to tell us a chiddush that the person was eating, he was in the middle of eating these fruits, that even while he was going up to the roof, he was in the middle of eating them, and nevertheless they become muktza. You might have thought the fact that he was eating them at the time means that he's not really being misalik himself from them. Since he's continuing to eat the fruits, he's making it very clear that he plans on having access to these fruits, even when he's bringing them up to the roof. So loli bay asmana, they wouldn't require asmana, they automatically would not be muktza. So Kamash Mulan, therefore it tells us, no, it's true that he was eating them, but once he leaves them on the roof, once he puts them on the roof, that's a very clear, overt act of Hesach Hadas, and therefore that's going to remain Muktza. Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi me Rabbi. Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi asked Rabbi the following shaila: Patzile tamara le Rabbi Shimon mahu, dates that are not fully ripened on the tree and never fully ripen on the tree. And what they do with such dates is they take them off the tree before they're ripened and they put them in these baskets that help the ripening process happen. So they're not roi lachila. You can eat them, but they're not perfectly edible until the ripening happens in these baskets. So what would Rabbi Shimon say? Are they usher to eat because they're not so ra'ilachila, and they're therefore like the raisins that are drying on the roof? Or do we say, no, since you were not docha b'adayim, putting them in the baskets doesn't ruin them. To the contrary, putting them in the baskets just speeds up the ripening process. So you never did anything to make them inedible. Adrabah, all of your efforts were to make them edible, were to bring them closer to becoming edible. So would we say this has the same din as raisins? So Rebbe said to Rabbi Shimon, Ein muktzah the Rabbi Shimon el grogros smukin bilvad. That only grogros and simukim are muktza because you were docha them biyadayim, and they're not currently edible. But something that's only not currently edible, but it doesn't have the other factor, you were never docha biyadayim, that would not be considered muktza within the worldview of Rabbi Shimon. So from the fact that Rabbi Shimon Barabi asked his father what the shita of Rabbi Shimon is by patzile tamara, the Gemara says, oh, you see from there that Rabbi must hold like Rabbi Shimon. Otherwise, why is his son asking him a detailed question in halacha about what Rabbi Shimon holds? It must be that Rabbi follows the shita of Rabbi Shimon. So says the Gemara, the Rebbe lesle muksa? Does Rebbe really hold of Rabbi Shimon's limited view of muksa? Vatnan, there's a Mishnah in Beitz and Dav Mem that ain't mashkin v'shochten asamid barios, aval mashkin v'shochten asabayosos, that you're not allowed to give water to hydrate an animal in order to shecht it. They would hydrate animals before shechita because then it makes the skinning of the animal much easier afterwards. So you're not allowed to be mashke v'shochet behemos hamidbarios, animals that are found in the midbar, because you on Erev Yontif you had no plan of using such animals. They're out in the wild. But you're allowed to be mashke v'shochet animals that are more domesticated animals, that are more under your control in your jurisdiction, because on Erev Yontif you planned on maybe using some of these animals to shecht. V'tanya, and the Brisa explains, Elu hein midbarios, how do we categorize what's midbarios and what's bayasos? So midbarios are kol she yotzos ba Pesach v'nichnasos b'revia. Any animals that go out to the midbar on Pesach and stay there until Chodesh Cheshvan, when the rainy season starts. Baisos are kol shein yotzos v'roos chutz l'tchum v'ubos v'lanos b'socha tchum. Baisos are animals that go outside of the tchum during the day, but at night they come back to sleep within the city limits. Rebbe Omer, elu ve'elu baisos hein. Rebbe says, no, both of the animals that we just described are considered baisos. They're considered animals that you are not mesiach das from. Ve'elu hein midbarios. You know what midbarios are? Kol sheroos ba'afar ve'ein nechnosos yishuv lo bimos cham lo bimos agish. It's animals that never come into the yeshuv, animals that are always out in the wild. But apparently, according to Rebbe, there is this issur of muktza, because he says when there are midbarios, they are in fact muktza, because you weren't planning on using them. That does not conform to Rabbi Shimon's view of muktza. That seems to conform to Rabbi Yehuda's view of muktza. So the Gemara's question is, why was Rebbe's son asking him a detailed question within Rabbi Shimon's view of muktza, implying that Rebbe holds like Rabbi Shimon? Over here, Rebbe in the Brisa defines midbarios based on an assumption like Rabbi Yehuda. So it says the Gemara three answers. Either he'll tell you that animals that are midbarios are such a strong form of muktza that they're just like grogros v'tzimokin, they're just like the raisins and the dried figs, because you sent them out to the wild to go and graze. So and it would take a lot to get them back, so it's like grogros v'tzimokin. A second possible answer is l'dvarav de Rabbi Shimon kamerlei v'lei lo sfirlei. His son was asking him what Rabbi Shimon held. They were learning together, so he's explaining shitas Rabbi Shimon. It doesn't mean that he holds like shitas Rabbi Shimon. V'ibayisema, or it could be that Rabbi wouldn't allow shechting midbarios. But the fact that it says in the Brisa that Rebbe doesn't allow it is not because Rebbe himself doesn't allow it. L'divreim d'rabbanan kamalu, he was speaking within the Shita of the Chachamim. L'didi lesli muksa klal. Rebbe might say, I don't care what animals you use, you can check whatever animal you want. I hold that there's no muksa at all. But you guys hold that there's such a concept of muksa that's operative over here. So Rabbi said, at least admit to me that if they go out on Pesach and they come out in the rainy season, that's called that they're coming back frequently enough that they're baisos. So the Rabbanan respond, no, we don't hold. We don't hold that way. We hold that if they only come back in the rainy season, they are midbarios. But the whole conversation was within a shita that Rebbe himself doesn't hold like. Rebbe himself holds like Rebbe Shimon, and he was having that conversation in the shita of the Rabbanon. So answers number 2 and 3 are sort of the opposites of each other, meaning answers 2 and 3 both assume that one of those conversations was just a talking and learning, but it wasn't where Rebbe held. It's just that answer number 2 was that the conversation where he's talking within Rebbe Shimon was just talking and learning. Answer number 3 is when he's assuming like Rebbe Yehuda, he was just talking and learning. But as far as halacha, he would hold like Rebbe Shimon. So now the Gemara says, okay, that's Rebbe. What about Rabbi Yochanan? Amar Rabba Bar Bachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Amru halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. So they said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the Bnei Yeshiva paskin like Rebbe Shimon, that there's no muk. So it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Shimon. Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Does Rabbi Yochanan really say that way? Va'abayminehu Saba Kruya Va'amrila Suruya. An older gentleman from either a place called Karoy or Saroy asked me Rabbi Yochanan. kina shel tanur gonos malu taltulu b'shabbes. If you have, are you allowed to be metaltul on Shabbos a nest of tarnagolas? Amar lei, so he said, klum asoy elul tarnagolin. What's the kan made for? It's only made for tarnagolin. So we're assuming that Rabbi Yochanan means to say that since the kan doesn't have any mutter usage, it's like a kli that's designated purely for melechas iser, and therefore you're not allowed to be metaltul even l'tzarach gufo mekomo. Kli she melechta l'iser, you're allowed to be metaltul l'tzarach gufo mekomo because it also has sometimes other uses, but something that can only be used for a davar aser is going to be absolute mukta. So this assumes like Rabbi Yehuda and not like Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says three possibilities. Now maybe the case is that a normal nest in a chinami would not be mukta because we hold like Rabbi Shimon. But over here there's a dead bird on it, and a dead bird is absolutely useless. A person can't eat it because it's nevela, and you can't even feed it to the dogs. So the isra of tiltul of the because it was alive when Shabbos started, so you never had a plan to it wasn't a sickly animal that you planned to feed to the dogs. So the isra of the tiltul of the kan is not because of the kan itself; it's because of the dead bird that's on it. So says Gemara, Hanicha lemar barame mar mishmei de Rava damar modai Rabbi Shimon bebalechayim shemesu shasurin. That works very well if you assume that Rabbi Shimon holds that dead animals are in fact muktzah. El lemar bereid Rav Yosef mishmei de Rava damar chalakai Rabbi Shimon afilu balechayim shemesu shein mutarin ma'ikal meimar. But if you're of the opinion that Rabbi Shimon thinks that even dead animals are not muktzah, so now we're still stuck. What would be the problem with moving the nest if you hold like Rabbi Shimon? The nest isn't muktzah according to Rabbi Shimon, and the dead animal on the nest is not muktzah according to Rabbi Shimon. So says Gemara, second possibility. The case over here is that there's a beitza that was just laid on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon holds a nisra of nolad. A kan without a beitza, you'd be allowed to move according to Rabbi Shimon. But over here, this is the highest form of muktzah. It's something that literally just came into existence on Shabbos. It was nolad on Shabbos. And even Rabbi Shimon would say that that's aser, mishum muktzah. So says the Gemara, but wait, v'amar Rav Nachman, mandi islay muktzah, islay nolad, delasay muktzah, leslay nolad. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold that nolad is a problem. Rabbi Shimon, who does not hold of the yitzra of muktzah, also does not hold of the isra of nolad. So the akan sheyeshba beitza, even if the beitza was laid today, is going to be mutter to be metaltel according to Rabbi Shimon. So why does Rabbi Yochanan say, you know, I'll let it be metaltel this kan? So says Gemara, di ispe beitza sefroach. Now it's not just an egg, it's an egg that already has a chick that's developing inside of the egg. Even Rabbi Shimon would say that that's asur, because that's roi for nothing. A person can't use it because it's got a developing chick in it, and a dog won't eat it because it's got a shell around it. So since it's usable for nothing, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that such a thing is muktzah. So again, when Rabbi Yochanan reported that the Bnei Yeshiva paskin like Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochanan was in fact paskining like Rabbi Shimon. Why did he ask for moving a kan? He asked for moving a kan because it was not on account of the kan, but on account of something that was on the kan that even Rabbi Shimon would hold as muktzah. The Gemara had three possibilities of what that thing might be: either a dead animal, or it was a beitza, or finally the Gemara concludes a beitza sefroach. But the point is that there was something on the kan that is absolutely muktzah, even according to Rabbi Shimon. So now the Gemara tells us, ki yasa Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, halach Rabbi Yehuda. Whoa, we just said that Rabbi Yochanan paskens like Rabbi Shimon. He said that in the Bnei Yeshiva, they all paskens like Rabbi Shimon. And now we have a different version where Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and he told us that that the Moraim in Eretz Yisrael had this discussion, had a paskin about muktzah, and Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shuban Levi Amar Alach Rabbi Shimon. It's Rabbi Shuban Levi who holds like Rabbi Shimon. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, now that we're told that the Alacha is like Rabbi, that Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Shimon, Hainu Damar Rabbi Barbachan Amar Rabbi Yochanan Amru Halacha Rabbi Shimon. Amru v'leilo sfirle, he says, now let's go back to the original statement where we thought Rabbi Yochanan was paskening like Rabbi Shimon. If you paid careful attention to how he formulated it, he did not say that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. He said that Amru, that Allah is like Rabbi Shimon. Amru means that he personally doesn't hold like that. And the Gemara would, the Ritva points out, because the Gemara would rather say that there's not a machlokas amorayim, what Rabbi Yochanan held. Because if you say that that Amru means that he himself held that way, then we're left with the machlokas amorayim, what Rabbi Yochanan held. Those are not good machlokas. We related before that there's a concept called Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Yes, Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim is a wonderful klal in learning and perhaps even in halacha, but that's never applied. Rashi writes in Maseches Ksubos Daf Nun Hey or Nun Vav that we never apply Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim when there's a machlokas about what somebody else said. When it's a machlokas about halacha, so different perspectives, each one could be correct. But when they're arguing about what Rabbi Yochanan's shita was, well, it was one or the other. That means one of them is wrong. We always try to avoid a machlokas where a holy Tana or a Mora is just wrong. So therefore, the Gemara would much rather say that we misunderstood what Amru meant originally, and not that anybody was wrong in their understanding of Rabbi Yochanan. So Amalei Abayi le Rabbi Yosef, at lo tizbro de Rabbi Yochanan k'Rabbi Yehuda? Do you not hold that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Mutsa? Ha Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Asi, iklu lebei Rabbi Abba de Min Chayfa. They went to the house of Rabbi Abba de Min Chayfa, v'nafal min norta al glimi. And a maisa happened where a menorah fell on a menorah that had been lit when Shabbos started and was now extinguished, fell on Ravasi's beged velo tiltala, and he wouldn't just pick up the menorah directly. He probably shook it off with the clothing, but the Ritva points out, but he did wasn't metaltal the menorah directly. My time, why didn't he just pick up the menorah and move it? Lav mishum de Ravasi talmidei de Rabbi Yochanava, must be because Ravasi was a talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda Svirlei, Dislei Muksa. And Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Muksa. And that's why he held that you were not allowed to be Metaltalit. So Amalei says, no, I have a different interpretation of that event. Minarta Kamrit. The Maisa that you're bringing was with the menorah, you think that proves that that Rabbi Yochanan passing like Rabbi Yehuda? Minarta Shaini. The din of a menorah is more chamur than other Isurim of Muksa. Even Rabbi Shimon would asur a menorah. The Gemara proves that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the dinim of muktzah of a menorah are more severe than other forms of muktzah. Da'am Rabbi Yachab Bar Chanina, Am Rabbi Asi, Hora Reish Lakish B'tzidon, Menorah Anitelus B'yado Achas, Mutul L'taltala. That a very small menorah that you could carry with one hand, you're allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos. But b'shtei yadav, asul l'taltal. If it's a larger menorah and takes two hands, you're not allowed to be metaltal. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and Rabbi Yochanan says, Anu ein lanu ella biner k'Rabbi Shimon. We only pass like Rabbi Shimon. We pass like Rabbi Shimon, and that has ramifications only when it comes to a ner, that you're allowed to be metaltal a ner. A ner is a small little kli cheres that holds a single wick and some oil. Aval menorah. But a menorah, even Rabbi Shimon is going to be more machmir and is going to consider to be muksa. So until Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yosef came, Rabbi Yosef himself didn't understand that Rabbi Yochanan in fact paskined like Rabbi Yehuda, because every event that had ever happened could have been reconciled with Rabbi Yochanan paskening like Rabbi Shimon, even that event of the menorah that had fallen on someone's clothing. But once Rabbi Yosef heard from Rabbi Yitzchak that Rabbi Yochanan in fact holds like Rabbi Yehuda, okay, so on the way in Lanu was that he must have only been saying that the yeshiva bachrim held like Rabbi Shimon, but in fact he was willing to be moda in the end that's how Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll get more into the discussion of the menorah versus the ner. I thank you all for bearing with me and staying the extra 20 minutes as we try to figure out the technical difficulties. Have a great day, everybody.
Yes, sir.